Good evening indeed. Let me know if you can hear me on my Parisian setting here. Wait, yes, very good, very good. I am recording this as well, but I thank you to record it too. As, yes, it's going well here. Okay, very good. Good evening, ACM Gather. Good evening, yeah, good evening for you. To tell you the truth, I'm like, since I'm back from Australia now, I just have like, it was too tough to stay up till one o'clock a.m. So, I had just like a nap, something. So I'm in the middle of like, the night somehow, like waking up, like a little buzzed. But I'm sure that the message we're going to be reading tonight shall wake me up. If it doesn't, well, it doesn't. It is called The Depth of You. I'm going to give again the link to this beautiful message, as they all are. All these messages are just fantastic. Very grateful for them. And we're going to continue what we started last week. Last week, again, for those who don't know, I'm subbing tonight for Regina, since she's in India. By the way, I take this opportunity to go to my heart and send her all my love and all my gratitude again for, just for everything. For everything. And I hope she's doing well. Now that you have the link, I invite you to click on the link. The message today is called The Depth of You. We started this last week. We're going to continue today. I believe it's an important message. I believe it's an important message. We're going to see what is the depth of us. Or we're going to see actually the way this teacher, called the voice of the Holy Spirit through these messages, is guiding us through this seeming path to awaken. To awaken to what? To actually awaken to the depth of us. Okay, to realize that what we are is not the surfacey level of us, meaning what we believe we are, but what we truly are, the depth of us. So in this message, he really talks about two different levels, surface and surface, which is untrue, and depth, which is truth. As usual, I'm gonna say a prayer, which is the way Regina does it. So I invite you all to remember the truest of our desire. And by remembering the true desire of our heart, it's not really a desire for something. It's not either a desire really that has a goal, that has an agenda, but it's a true fire, a living light that we could call faith. But these are just words. Something burning that comes from the depth of us, in our heart. Remembering what we truly want would be the best way to be in touch with this. By the way, the Holy Spirit taught us that in order to remember the true desire, one of the good things to do would be to ask our own hearts. So I invite you all to do the same thing, to do the same thing now, and ask ourselves, ask our heart, what is it that you truly want? What is it that we truly want? And wait for the answer. So Holy Spirit, you dwell as this desire within my heart. Again, as a vibration that is not really talkative, or at least the vibration is not making a lot of sounds, a lot of words right now, but is more of a vibration. I understand, Holy Spirit, that by getting in touch or aware with this vibration, I get in touch with what you call, with what you are, which is a bridge. A bridge between surface and worldly affairs. The worldly belief that I am a separate person. The worldly perspective, point of view, that I am a man here on earth, talking to other men and women with different agendas. And I can feel that by listening to you, by following this peaceful vibration, I am now in touch with another dimension of my being, with a peaceful depth that you call truth, my heart, that you call truth with you. So as usual, I will give you the this following hour, these words, this message, this communication, this setting of exchange, seemingly at the surface level, so that we can all benefit from our truth, from this connection, from this sharing, in the name of that desire and in the name of who we really are. Thank you and Amen. Okay. That was great. And this is actually what this message is about. This message is about remembering what is important in the face of any event that is happening to us in the world. And one of the first things to remember that any event happening to us in the world is exactly what it is, an event. An event meaning something, a situation that has a start and that will end. A situation, an event, that takes place in the realm of time. In the realm of space. Geography. In the realm of perception. In the realm of fleeting appearances. And that is very important to see, remember, understand. This understanding I'm talking about is a seeing understanding. like one message was really mentioning intellectual understanding versus seeing understanding. You see that every event, either joyful event or miserable event, is something that takes place in time in the sense that has a beginning and an end. So it is not the depth of us. It is not the truth of us. And in the face of any event, the very important thing to do is, first of all, remember this, and secondly, join through this remembering with the depth of us, with the reality of us, with that which doesn't change, with that which is the foundation of this experience, of that which is. We can call it isness, beingness, awareness. Not perception, but awareness. Right? That which houses. And for this, remembering our true desires is just very important. It's a beautiful bridge. What is it that we really want? And when you ask that to your heart, like we did in the prayer, well, you feel anchored into a peaceful vibration, which either is or is a direct extension of a vibration that is not of the world, but that is of something that is constant. And nothing is constant in the world besides from that which houses the world, besides from the source of the world. We can call it beingness. In this message, it is called the depth of us. I will read again the answer of the Holy Spirit. Remember that last week we started like the first two paragraphs. They were the answer of the Holy Spirit to Regina, who was sharing how she felt. Indeed, she was feeling, we would say, very bad. Okay? She was feeling like that she needed help. And the Holy Spirit showed us that it's a wonderful thing to do in those hard and tough experiences to share how we feel, either with your insight, but it's a wonderful thing to write it out, to take a piece of paper and write out that you want to lash in hate, that, what was she saying? Ego is all I can hear, it is very strong, I feel lost, I want me back, I'm scared and angry, I feel imprisoned, I feel, so, and anything works, right? I feel jealous, I feel hatred, I feel scared, you know. The wonderful thing, it's a great practice, is just to write it out, to write it down. By writing down like those difficult experiences, you are doing many things that are very, very helpful. First of all, you're not denying what you feel. I would say that that's the most helpful thing to do when that happens. You look at it. You write it down. You write down how you feel. It's a great practice because not only you're not denying it because you are in a mindset of description, right? You are in a mindset of description. You're not in a mindset of what am I going to do in order to cope with this, in order to change it, in order to deal with it. You're not dealing with it. You're just describing what you feel. And by the act of writing it down, something wonderful happens. There's an exteriorization of all these thoughts that go pretty fast, especially with those strong feelings of hate or fear or terror or sadness or guilt. You know that the intensity of these, what we call negative emotions, when they are not felt, they bring a lot of thought with them. The idea is to take some of these thoughts and to write them down. Because when you do that, you can see. It's very important to see and take note of that ongoing surface in the mind. You just extract a few thoughts, a few sentences here and there, especially if you choose too quickly. You won't be able to get all of it, but some of it, and you write it down. You don't let the thought like continue. Because if you do, well, especially when they go fast like this, they continue with a great speed and they continue unchecked. And let me remind you, what is a belief? A belief is a thought that is unchecked. A belief is a thought that is not verified. Meaning, it's a thought that runs with what we call the energy of belief. Once you start to look at it, to examine it, to note, to be aware, to look, and to look from a close, then you are able to do the one thing that we are asked to do on any serious spiritual path, is to look at it from a close and to deny the truth of it. That's our job. Our job is to stop believing that which is untrue. But we cannot stop believing if we don't even know we believe in it. And we cannot stop believing if we don't look at what we believe. Okay? So, writing down how we feel, writing down the chatter in the mind, you know, but especially how we feel, those type of thoughts, of talkative feelings, are very important. When they're here, it's actually a great gift. They're here so they can be released. So they can be checked. So the unverified can be verified. From that standpoint, everything is a present. Everything works in unison for our awakening. Every single event, and especially here, like the difficult ones, are a gift. They're not anymore a difficult event. They are a great gift from our depth to raise everything that we believe and all the experience that goes with it. And here I'm talking about feelings, sensations, and thoughts. They raise up to the surface so they can be seen. Because once they are seen, the energy of belief, the glue, is much less gluey. Because it is seen. The glue of belief resides in the not seeing. What is it we believe in? That reminds me of a few words of J.M. in The Way of Mastery that says, the ego is the cesspool of denial. Course in Miracles says, above all else, I want to see. Teachings of spirit, rest, accept, and trust. It's all about looking. It's all about being aware of that which I believe in. Why? In order to let go of this belief. How do you let go of a belief? By looking at it. And then verifying it. Looking at it from a close. From, you enter this belief and you. And then when you look at it, you can see that, I mean, many things happen when you do that. But the wonderful thing that can happen is to realize that this belief is not true. When it is seen as untrue, it is let go of. Very simple. And when a belief is let go of, it stops being a problem, stops turning, because you just don't believe it. The belief that we want to look at, and we talked about this last week, the one belief that we really want to look at is the belief in separate self. Belief that I am a doer. I am a chooser. I am an independent person. That's the belief that keeps us at the surfacey level, at the worldly level of things, at the level of beginning and end. And that is the belief that keeps the suffering up. Why? Because if we are identified with this thought, meaning if we haven't checked the belief that, the belief in I, the belief in me, if we haven't checked it, if we haven't verified it, meaning if we take it as granted, we will be a fleeting element at the surface of things, not grounded. That message is about grounding ourselves. And we ground ourselves in truth. Untruth is not grounding, it's surfacey. It's very important that we make the distinction between surface and depth. Surface is fleeting, is changing. One day is nice, one day is not nice. We know that we cannot change the events. We can only look at the events. We don't choose the events. They just happen. The outside events and the inside events. The thoughts, the feelings, and the weather. Nothing is in our control. So there's no peace there. There can only be peace somewhere else, somewhere that is constant. But one of the way to get there is this exercise. What Regina just did, what I've just talked about, to write down exactly how we feel. And by doing this, just like spirit starts with these words, grounding yourself is important. And this is what you did by sharing how you feel. Okay, this is very important. What do you do when you share how you feel? You ground yourself. Where? In truth. And now let me read the answer of Holy Spirit once again, because it's seemingly subtle, but it's not something that we see at first in this answer. He's really giving us a practical answer to ground ourselves in the truth of us, using what seemingly is called difficult or bad experiences. There's nothing bad, there's nothing that the Holy Spirit, as we know, cannot use for the purpose of our awakening. Okay, again, these are the terms of the Course in Miracles. I am in ACIN Gather. So I use the term the Holy Spirit. I use the term correction. I use the term using it for a purpose. Because here we distinguish between two purposes. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, the remembrance of what we are, the remembrance of our depth, and the purpose of the ego, the remembrance of the surface. And if there is a choice, it would be between the two. Meaning, it would be between remembering what we are and forgetting what we are. And when we check that from even closer, we might even realize that this is not even a choice. But that's not what this message is about right now. So, I'll take a sip of water. And I will read Haite. It's nice to see you. Here's the, for those who came in the room, here's the link to the message that is called The Depth of You, that we're going to be reading today. Again, this is the answer of the Holy Spirit. Grounding yourself is important, and this is what you did by sharing how you feel. When you share how you feel with yourself, yourself answers with what is true and what is not true. Somewhere within you, says this message, more as a feeling or intuition than as words, you hear that how you feel is not how you really feel. Something within you knows that the surface feelings, the surface fears and judgments are not your truth. And so it tells you this isn't real. You find yourself writing how you feel while also realizing from some faraway point of recognition that this isn't true. Well, I read that last week, and this present a wonderful summary of everything we talked about for these first 20 minutes. The act of writing it down allows us this exteriorization, this taking note of what we feel, meaning of what we believe. And by looking at it, the looking has happened, the descriptive part of it has happened. So while I'm writing how I really feel, right, how I feel, I realize that it's not really true. At the beginning of this type of exercise, it will be, like the Holy Spirit says, a faraway point of recognition that everything I'm feeling is actually not true. Meaning not coming from my truth. But at the beginning, it's a blasphemy to feel hate and to imagine that it's not true because it's so strong. But as I'm allowing this feeling, meaning as I'm recognizing it, as I'm naming it, it's one way of recognizing it and not fighting against it, the process of seeing the false has started. When it starts, it feels like an intuition, a faraway point of recognition that what I'm feeling, that this hate does not speak for the truth of me. That's what is meant when it says it's not true. It is happening, okay? It is something that's happening. We're not denying that strong, if it is strong, that strong energy of hate, right? But as the Holy Spirit mentioned in some other messages, he calls it the light of untrue. But if we don't look at it from a close, if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't rest, accept and trust through that experience, if we don't write it down, again, this is another way of doing it, well, there's no way we will be able to see through it and to see that, first of all, it may not be the truth. That opens the mind to that possibility. And then, while feeling it, denying its truth. That's a high, efficient practice. You embrace, I remember these words when I was with Regina at the same time, I was going through these same emotion at the time. I remember these words, embrace the experience of the light of untrue. The light, because everything is made of light. Even darkness is made of light, covered by a filter. Everything is an energy. And an energy is lightful. Even if it's hate. And you embrace it. And in your embracing, you see that it is not true. Okay? And one approach. I mean, we mentioned many since the beginning now of this hour. A wonderful way to remember what is true and what is not true is something that happens in time is not true. Something that has a beginning has an end. So, we're not talking about us. We're not talking about what the Course calls that which is real that cannot be threatened. Okay. A threat is a change in time. When we are identified with a belief, the belief in I am a person, I am a body, I am a separate mind, a separate self, then I am identified with that which is threatenable, a concept. Seeing this is wonderful. It's grounding. Why is it grounding? Because I start to see. And in the seeing, I realize that what has a beginning has an end. And that which is aware of beginning and end is maybe not beginning and maybe not ending. Maybe it's constant. And that allows a detachment, maybe a re-identification, and the rest of exploration maybe. Let me read the following. That faraway point of recognition that doesn't believe your dramas as true is that which you call me. It is your Holy Spirit, fully and perfectly aware within you. It is the voice of peace. It's a wonderful definition of that which is the Holy Spirit. It is very important to listen to the voice of peace within you. And one thing this voice is telling you is that your feelings aren't true. Your feelings are not true. And this is a very literal statement. The message is saying, the feelings that you seem to experience and suffer from are not your true feelings. At a level within you that is deeper than the feelings you feel, those feelings are not there. They are not there because they are absent. They are absent because they are not real. And so they do not exist within the depth of you. As we practice, see, realize, when we write down, for example, how we feel, something wonderful happens. You believe it big time when you start writing it, like, I hate her, I hate him, etc. It seems very real. As I write it, a natural detachment starts to happen. A natural realization starts to happen that which I am presently, which is being and aware of that which is being written, is not believing in that drama. I'm getting in touch with that which is constant. And in that which is not fleeting and constant, the hate, the guilt, or any other feeling is not present, is nowhere to be found. For example, I started to talk about awareness, so we can continue about awareness. The seer is not affected by hate. The seer or the seeing or the seeingness is not at all threatened or affected or touched by that which is seen, which is felt. It's very important. Because then we see that at the level of the, if we turn our attention 180 degrees to the seer, to the experiencer, right? To this end of the experience, well, we see that these very important and difficult feelings are not present. They are not to be found in the depth of us. So we can use the depth of us, as we said, as we did earlier during the prayer, remembering our true desire, for example, remembering the depth of our heart and seeing that deep, 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 deep within, those feelings are nowhere to be found. We can also use the back, 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 back. Remember the message called the bus. When we go back in the bus, meaning as we step more and more in the observer seat, that which is observed is very much separate, meaning the observer is not affected by that which is observed. Okay, these are wonderful first ways and steps to detach. Why do we want to detach? Because we want to see that which is true, constant, and that which is not true, fleeting. When that distinction is made, well, the choice is pretty easy. First of all, you realize that it's not, the whole of the experience is not the hate. The hate happens within a certain space. Is the space affected? Is the space in this room affected by my words, by these sounds? No, it isn't. And that's, by the way, another way of grounding and anchoring oneself in the truth of us. The truth of us is that which is constant. So anything that can help you, first of all, detach from the importance of the experience to that which contains the experience, that which sees the experience, or the depths that are not affected by the experience, would be very helpful in those difficult moments. Let me continue. The depth of you is where you reside. And so, If you are to know you at a conscious level, you must let your consciousness go there. If you stay at the surface, caught up in it as if it is real, the surface will be your experience and you will feel lost. But if you bring your consciousness to your depth, depth rises into your consciousness, and that shall be your experience, even within the same experience of form. And that's now not only very practical as all these messages are, but that's very dynamic paragraph. Dynamic. It uses the creative part of that experience. Wherever we put our attention, experience will follow. So if I put my attention on the fleeting, what I'm asking at a certain level that is not conscious, that is not the level of the person, that is not the level of the separate self, right? But the level of the creative desires, okay? You see where you fix your attention. If what is important in an experience is to understand the experience, to see where it's coming from, to get rid of it, what you're really asking is the experience to continue, because all of the fire of attention is placed on where you want to go. Said another way, or said the other way, you are going where you are asking to go. And where your attention is where you're going. So if my attention is on trying to heal, or trying to understand, or trying to get away from that experience, I'm actually asking for more of that experience, because my attention is all there. That's our creative part. What does the Holy Spirit says in this message? He says that if you don't let your consciousness go to another place, like the depth of you, and we've just seen three or four places where how can we access the depth of us, the space around it, the awareness before that is aware of it, the beingness that is a solid anchor that is never affected by an experience. If we don't let our consciousness go there, our consciousness, as the fire of attention, the creative fire of attention, which we can call desire, for example, will be focused on the surfacey feelings. And that will be our experience, because that's what we ask. Okay? And as I'm sharing this, as I'm aware of the fact that we're not really choosing consciously and actively any of the events, okay, including the gaze of our attention, what I'm speaking about is more of a description. I like the term description, but not prescription. Okay. This message sounds like, the Course in Miracles sounds like a prescription. And as long as I believe that I must do something, it will be a prescription. If I believe that I'm a doer and that I need to do something in order to get better, awaken, etc., well, that's the mindset in which I am. So I will take this message as if, or this message will be given to me as if I was in fact a doer, needing to implement some prescription. As we get further in the understanding of ourselves, we realize that there's no such thing as a doer, as a separate doer. So we can take all these messages now as a prescription, a very, very refined prescription of the way things are, a description of the way things are, but take it as description. All we need to do is see the mechanisms at play, okay? Because the more I see it, well, the less it will be unseen. Right? And the glue of belief will be let go of. Okay. The depth of you is where you reside, and so you are to know at a conscious level, you must let your consciousness go there. If you stay at the surface, caught up in it as if it's real, the surface will be your experience and you will feel lost. But if you bring your consciousness to your depth, depth rises into your consciousness and that shall be your experience. So it's really, in that little phrase, in that little sentence, these are, as I see it now, the three steps, maybe, if we can talk about three steps. The first step, when we are caught in the experience, is to separate the unreal from the real. Okay? The perceived from the perceiving. Then, we can somehow, through that first step, that first realization, can go back into that which is perceived as the true seer. And now the experience is complete. It's almost complete. The last step is to realize that that which I perceive is made of perceiving itself. Or consciousness, beingness, right? Said another way, everything is God. First we realize that if we resist an experience, it's because we believe that it is not God. So, we first separate, right, the wheat from the chaff. You say that, I think, in the Bible. And you just go and check the truth, the depth, the unaffected part. And then when, from that point of recognition, you come back to experience, it's a total different ballgame. And as you're coming back to the experience is more and more grounded in the depth of you, beingness, awareness, life, right? Nothingness, spaceness, you know, all these. Well, as I go back to the experience, I realize that there's no separateness anymore. That the experience is happening from and within truth, within depth, and it's actually made of truth, made of depth. Okay? And that gets us to, those seeming three parts gets us into the experience of completeness. The experience of one with everything, the experience of truth, even at the surface level. That's what we want. We don't want to just stay in the depth, in the samadhi of awareness. We want to come back to it. These are words, right? These are words. Come back to it and embrace the whole of experience as being oneness itself, or God itself, or depth itself. We want to see that surface was actually all along pure depth. Okay? That would be somehow like that third stage, if you can talk about stage. Just allow me to talk about stage. Let's continue with the paragraphs of this message. I have told you before, the Holy Spirit says, that it is an error to focus on your need for healing. Because this makes your need for healing real. To focus on your need for healing is to remain at the surface. So the surface is your experience, which is what we just said. You do not need healing. The healed mind exists within you now. The mind that has never lost its peace and knowledge is within you now. You cannot need healing when all perfection is a part of you now. You must only get in touch with that part and know that part is the part that is real. Now, that paragraph is also quite immense for us seeming individuals on an awakening path. On a seeming path to awakening. Okay? And this is, even to us Course in Miracles students, NTI students, where the need is for healing, well, sure, but we can maybe take it a step further. We take it a step further, a step beyond, through the depth of our experience. through checking, through seeing, through getting closer to the things the way they are, meaning checking the beliefs, and realizing that that which checks the beliefs, that which embraces experience, that which is constant, does not need healing. That's the first step. As I'm continuing on, I realize that that which doesn't need healing is the truth of me. That which is not affected is the truth of me. So now, I thought that the path was to heal the surfacey feelings, to heal the surfacey beliefs, to heal that which fleets. Okay, how? By looking at it in a certain way, by, at the beginning, we try to change it. We try to do something with the experience. The more we taste truth, even within the experience of untrue, of beginning and ends, we realize that everything is perfect. Nothing is to be done. That which seems to appear, seems to appear. It will end, just like everything else that appears. That which is, is. Where am I going to identify with? That which fleets, or that which is? That's also a step. Okay, what we mentioned as, am I going to be sitting in the depth of my seat or in the front of my seat? As I'm going to look at my experience as that which I am, or am I going to look at the experience as part of experience? And it actually can be both. Look at all these words tonight as description more than prescription. And that recognition will have its effect. But look at these words. You do not need healing. Okay? The healed mind. Now, this is the same Holy Spirit that has written NTI, right? Where it is talked about the need for healing. So it seems to be paradoxical. It seems to be controversial. If one wants to see controversy, it will see that. If you want to see the same thing, you will see the same thing. It seems paradoxical, but it's not. It's all a level of belief. Once we get closer and closer to experience as it is, we realize that nothing needs to be changed. I do not need healing, because if I needed healing, I would be part of the fleeting. But the whole game is about seeing that that which I am is already perfect, is in no need of healing whatsoever. Okay, you do not need healing. The healed mind exists within you now, etc. Next paragraph. I have told you that zero code is zero code, and there is nothing other to learn. All you have to realize is that the false is false, and the false is not you. In letting it go as untrue, it has no effect on your experience. It is holding to it that makes it seem real for you. For those who don't know, that message called zero code is zero code. Well, I'm not going to go in the depth of that message, because it's just another enormous message that tells us that there's nothing other to do than to see that the false is false. What did we call real and what did we call false tonight? The false is that which starts and ends. The real is that which doesn't start and doesn't end. If I don't look closely at that which I'm feeling, meaning at that which I'm believing, I will still be caught up, meaning identified, with that which starts and that which ends, a body. A separate self, a seeming separate self, until I check this belief. And I see that there's nothing like I see that there's nothing like a separate self. I invite you to look for one and to try to find one. It is nowhere to be found. It's an assumption. An assumption is definitely something fleeting. When we let go of all that which is fleeting, not this nor that, we are left with that which is constant. That which is. That which exists. Okay? And today we spoke about beingness. We talk about isness. Okay? Either in its static or its dynamic aspect. I will always include books. I have told you that zero code is zero code and there is nothing other to learn. What does it mean? What is false. That's all. That's all there is to learn. That which is false is false. That's it. Now, the Holy Spirit continues. I remember at the time, a few messages before, we talked about addiction. And he gave us an answer on addiction. I remember he gave us an answer on the fact that addiction, the only addiction is addiction to judgment. Okay. Look at what the Holy Spirit does with this paragraph. We've talked about addiction lately, and I've said addiction is only illusion. Addiction is illusion because it isn't the truth of you. It isn't the truth of the depth of you. But at the surface, which is wholly untrue, addiction is an experience you seem to suffer with. Addiction is merely this. Addiction is staying at the surface and experiencing the surface as if it is your truth. Addiction disappears the instant you go deeper and dive into the depth of you. Isn't that just a wonderful definition of addiction? A wonderful definition of illusion? A wonderful definition of world? It's just being caught in the untrue. But the aspect of that paragraph, which is very dynamic, is the focus that is made on the desire to stay at the surface. And that's the addiction. Even the Course in Miracles warns us many times in the pages, beware of the temptation to be unfairly treated, for example. It also talks about the addiction to guilt. The temptation to guilt. Why? Because all guilt, fear, the temptation to be victim, all of these, they're not important by themselves because they are concepts. What we want to look at is something more subtle, which is more foundational for the experience, is the desire, the addiction. The addiction to what? The addiction to the separate self. That's what we want to. If we want to zoom in something, and even this is not really in our power to do, but we can give our willingness to zoom in an important thing. Zoom in the force of addiction. And the force of addiction is that ancient wanting to be that which we are not. Okay. Addiction is staying at the surface and experiencing the surface as if it is your truth. Addiction disappears the instant you go deeper and dive into the depths of it. I've said that addiction is a habit. I continue. It is a habit to live at the surface of consciousness. Therefore, it takes focus to go into the depth and live your living from there. However, this focus can also become a habit until living from your depth is a natural reaction to all circumstances of form. in the seeming path of awakening that takes place in time, in the realm of beginning and ends, the path now is not anymore to to deal with what is perceived in a very helpful way, right? We deal with what is perceived by accepting it, not accepting it, believing it, not believing it. Okay? This is mainly what we can do. We can interpret this. We don't have a choice about what's happening at surface. We are being taught that the only choice we might have is a choice of interpretation. Am I going to believe it? Am I going to accept it? Am I going to judge it? Etc. Then we realize that even this is not really a choice, and that which matters the most is to not be interested in those fleeting things and to step back as the foundation of experience, meaning beingness, that which is constant. Okay? The instant we go deeper. And that's where all these teachings are bringing us into peace. What is peace? Peace has nothing to do with the events. Peace is where you're going to experience the events from. Let me repeat this. Peace, the choice for peace, is the choice for where am I going to be sitting while that which appears, appears and disappears. From the depth of me, or from the conceptual, fleeting self that I take myself to be when I don't look at it from a close. I don't see that it's a non-existence concept, just like all the other concepts, very fleeting. Okay? This focus can also become a habit until living from your depth is a natural reaction to all circumstances of form. I've told you that looking outside yourself is more hurtful than you realize. This is because you will never find yourself there. You are that which is the depth of you, and you cannot find that on the outside. To focus outside is to stay at the surface, and the surface experience will be confused with you. You will feel lost. That was another very important message of all these messages, was don't look outside yourself for happiness, for truth. Okay? By understanding this paragraph very well, we realize that everything we do is looking for truth and happiness, right? That's the desire. That's what we all do. We all look for happiness and truth. That's very important to see. That's all we look at. That's all we do. That's all we look for. We understand suffering when we realize that we are looking in the wrong place. And that is outside. The messages of before, we're talking about outside in the eyes of another, for example. Recognition by the outside world, being loved, right? Or even looking outside for like a metaphysical understanding, for example, of that which is happening. This is still outside because it's fleeting. Today we call outside that which has a beginning and that which has an end. When your gaze is there and when you think you're going to get the happiness and the truth you seek for in the beginning and the end, in that realm, you're up for suffering. Why? Because you're not, what you're really looking for is you. And that's the message of this little paragraph. All that you're looking for is you. Meaning truth and happiness, that which you are. As long as you're not going to find it, you're not going to be happy. That which you look for is you. Okay. When we realize this, we start to look somewhere else. We look in the depth of us. Or in the space, or in the awareness, or in the bigness. We just talked about this tonight. Okay? We can actually finish by saying that you are already,
that which you seek. You are already that which you're looking for. Dove is written, the purpose is you. Yeah. And finally, the last three sentences, before I give back the mic. Do not try to bring the surface into you to fix you. You can never find an answer there. Go within, get in touch with you, then bring that to the surface. That is the most helpful thing you can do. Okay? The Course will say, don't try to fix illusion or whatever, bring truth. Is that what it's seemingly a little different, right? The Course is saying don't bring truth to the illusion, but the illusion to the truth. Here, it's seemingly the opposite that is being said. But we don't really have time. So I'll give that to Regina, who's coming next week, just to look at, it's actually the same thing. First, go within, realize your truth, your depth, your constantness, and live from there. So it's not really bring that to the world, which is really the same thing as seeing that the world is within beingness. And as I look closer from that position, I realize that all is one, that everything is made of pure beingness. Even the fleeting coming and going moments are made of constantness, and that is peace. That is unshakable depth, that is really where the surface is being bathed in that depth, okay? Wonderful. Here's the mic, Dov. And again, it was a pleasure. I told you, Dov, that I will not be here on Tuesday, but I will start this Tuesday after, okay? I love you all very much. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Okay, thank you so much.